Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. You hear Antonia Gonzalez daily on SDPB Radio as she brings you National Native News. She's the program's anchor and producer. This morning, she was the featured speaker at the Morning Phillip at the Garage in Rapid City. Morning Phillip is sponsored by the NUMAD Group with support from the Bush Foundation. Antonia Gonzalez joins us now from the SDPB studios at the Dahl Art Center in Rapid. Antonia, good morning. Welcome
good
to
morning.
In the Moment.
How are you? Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
This is your first trip to South Dakota, I'm told. Is that right?
It is, and it's been such a great trip. It's so beautiful here, and the people are just lovely, and it's just so exciting to be able to go tour around and see some sites and also just meet people in person. And it's just such, it's been such a great trip that I'm sorry it wasn't longer and that I have to go home already.
Right. Give me an idea of what you did while you were here, where you went.
So I came in on Monday night, right, with the rain. I brought in the rain. I don't know. But it was sheets of rain coming down. My plane was actually delayed, so I got here later. I was planning to tour around on Monday afternoon, but I got here when it was raining really hard, and I drove out to Custer in the rain, in the dark, never being here before, made my way. I stayed at a beautiful place out there and then wanted to watch the game. So trying to find a sports place to watch the game, which I did, and it was packed and it was fun. Right. Get up in the morning, go through Wind Cave National Park, and I'm an early bird anyway. I'm usually up by about 4 o'clock every morning. So it was great to get up and just see all the wildlife. That was really exciting.
Right. And you saw plenty of wildlife on your late night drive to Custer, because I've done that drive in the night when I didn't know where I was going. And there's plenty of wildlife on that. You slow down.
Yeah.
Give me an idea then, once you've been in South Dakota for a while and you've traveled the nation, of course, are the same issues that you see that people want to talk about in South Dakota through Native American communities similar to issues throughout the nation and other indigenous communities, or is each place really unique?
I think on when you look at tribes nationally, yes, there's definitely issues that people are talking about on the national level that mirrors other communities across the country, economic development, housing, healthcare, a number of issues that tribes are working on, and then of course depending on the region and the size of the community, each community has its own unique aspects and challenges and successes. And so I think that a lot of tribal communities definitely mirror each other. And then, of course, they're working on their own set of issues and dealing with the different challenges.
Tell us about the reach of National Native News throughout the country.
So National Native News is a Stringer-based program, and a lot of reporters here in South Dakota, South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I work with, and it's great to meet people in person and see a lot of these different sites that we've been reporting on for years, just to see them in person and being able to go over to the Pine Ridge Reservation and meet and talk to people in person, and going to the tribal radio station there, Keeley Radio, was really exciting. It's definitely been a great trip so far.
Tell us about your background and growing up in the Southwest.
Yeah, so I'm a citizen of the Navajo Nation, and I grew up in Arizona and New Mexico. My family is from an area called Delcon, Arizona, and Chinle, Arizona, and that's near Winslow, Arizona. And that's where I grew up, and then I went to Gallup High School and went to University of New Mexico, and I've been in Albuquerque ever since, and I really love radio and love doing Native American stories, and lately, for the past more than a year now, I've been a correspondent with New Mexico PBS and teaming up with them and doing some special joint collaboration and coverage of different Native American issues in New Mexico.
So at what point did you find that journalism was something that you were able to see for yourself as a career? And did you see for yourself in, you know, working with tribal communities right away, that was important? Or were you thinking, as long as I'm in journalism, that's where I want to be?
Yeah, so I started off as a television reporter in commercial television, one woman band reporter in a community called Carlsbad in southeastern New Mexico. It's right next to Roswell, and Carlsbad is famous for its national caverns and a bat flight that happens. It's a real tourist area next to Roswell, and so I was a southeastern New Mexico reporter. So I did commercial television for a while, and that's what I went to school for, was to get into commercial television. And then I kind of just fell into radio, and I have just loved it and been in it ever since. And it just worked out that it was Native American radio, and I got my degree in communications and journalism and minored in Native American studies. And so I just felt like it was a natural fit. And I hope to continue a career sharing Native American perspectives and Native voices and Native American stories on both public radio and television.
Why is it important? It's an obvious question, but let's articulate it. Why is it so significant?
I think for me personally, you know, being a Native person and sharing our perspectives and telling stories from our point of view, and our mission is really bringing out the Native American voice and making sure that we're our people are being heard on various levels, whether we're talking about, you know, language revitalization and culture, or if we're talking about improving Native communities, healthcare, housing. I think it's really important to get community perspective and a variety of voices from tribal leaders, from community members, and just sharing what not only challenges but also the successes. I think there's a lot of really good underreported stories in Indian country, especially with Native youth and the young people just really starting programs and making betterment of their communities from their perspectives. I think there's a lot of great stories out there that still could be highlighted and shown.
Let's talk about underreporting. Do you see that changing at all in other news outlets where those stories are more interesting and are followed up on more? Or is it a constant challenge to hear Native voices, see Native people featured in the news, or hear tribal community stories at all?
I think that in the mainstream media, it's definitely still a challenge. We have a lot of Native journalists who are in both tribal media and mainstream media, and I think that's really important because of the different aspects. I'm lucky enough to be able to report and share Native stories every day, where maybe some of my colleagues have to fight for their stories still. But I think there's interest there, definitely. And working in public broadcasting has been able to allow that these Native stories to be told. But I think there's definitely still other people who are in mainstream media that are still challenged to fight for their story. Mm.
Talk a little bit about point of view, and when we talk about journalism and the, you know, foundations and the fundamentals of good journalism, sort of push toward leaving a point of view behind and being as objective as possible. How do you sort of reconcile and balance that with, as a, you know, reporting on tribal stories as a Native American journalist?
For sure. It's like any other journalist across the country. I went to school, old school journalism, had great mentors, and that's how I approach every story. And just because I'm Native American doesn't mean I have any kind of special access to people. I definitely have the perspective and can share perspective, but I treat any story like anything else. So when people are saying, you know, we're having a challenge of I guess giving up on a Native American story, you would just treat it as any other story. You wouldn't give up. You would find different avenues. If a certain tribal leader doesn't want to talk to you, then you maybe go on the grassroots level and find somebody, or go on the statewide, or go nationally. You don't give up just because you get one door closed. I think that's the way that a lot of people that I know who are Native American journalists treat all the stories when it comes to reporting in Indian country.
Did you have a particular role models growing up? Who did you look to? Who do you look to today in the field of journalism, sort of model success?
Yeah, definitely. I had some great mentors. I'm a member and former board member of the Native American Journalists Association, and I really credit them for helping me. We have a great student project where we bring in students, high school and college students, and pretty much just get them associated with journalism. And, you know, you can read and learn through books, but just being thrown in the fire and having to do journalism and working with mentors as we team them up with mentors and they spend a week reporting out in the field really helped give me an edge. And I really credit that for helping me get a job in television, because I had stories that I worked on through the project that I could show potential employers. And I think that helped me land a job, my first job, which I got in television. I also had a mentor, Conroy Chuno, who was a former television, investigative television reporter, and he really helped show me the ropes of journalism. And so I credit him and Nadja for helping me get to where I am today.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to In the Moment on South Dakota Public Broadcasting Radio. My guest, Antonia Gonzalez. She's the anchor, host, producer, National Native News. You hear every day here on All Things Considered on SDPB Radio during that time slot. Antonia, let's talk about your visit to Rapid City this morning and the morning fill-up. What kind of questions were you getting from the audience, or what did you find that people really want to talk to you about, that or at Pine Ridge at the radio station there? What are people looking for from you when you get out of the studio and face-to-face with folks?
I think just the warm reception, and it's just such a pleasure to be able to, you know that people are listening. Sometimes it seems like we're stuck in a news cycle and we don't know, you know, if people are truly listening or not. So it was just a very, very humbling experience, and very, you know, I'm honored to be here and just be able to meet people and talk to people. And just, I think people just wanted to hear the perspective of you know, how we approach news and how kind of the background is and how we get to where we are, to the final project, and what that process is like, and the thoughts, and just hearing from different community members. I think that that's what people were excited to hear about.
Just making that connection.
Yes.
Tell us then what your morning is like, what your day is like. It must be mastery of time management.
So I get up early. I go straight to the gym. I'm one of those crazy gym persons in the morning. So I'm always happy and ready to go and smiling because I just had a workout. And so I'm that type of person who seems like they've had like 20 cups of coffee and it's only like 5 o'clock in the morning.
You don't have to apologize. We love you for it and we admire you for it. Yeah. Even if we can't keep up.
And then, you know, just going on, seeing what's going on for the day. Like I said, stringer based, and so I have people pitching me stories, or I see something and I ask people to cover it. And then, of course, I love any time I get to go into the field and do my own reporting. So those are, you know, those opportunities I'll jump at any time to get out in the field and talk to people face to face. I think that's, you know, probably one of the funnest parts of the job, but also just I feel like I'm connected to all these people I work with, and then finally meeting them in person for the first time, that's really exciting too.
What are those thematic stories or issues in tribal communities that seem to come up again and again that you're constantly hearing stringers pitch stories for, or you're seeking a new angle on? Do you have an overarching sense of theme?
I think, you know, depending on the time of year, definitely stuff going on in state legislatures across the country, a lot of talk on health care, looking at the environment. There's always environmental stories. You know, those are the type of stories that every community is facing and are coming up in a lot of different discussions, whether it's on the tribal, local level, the state level, and national level as well.
Is it more challenging when you have, you know, a large event like the protests at the Dakota Access Pipeline and the water protectors there, when there's so much happening on social media as well? Is that present a special challenge to you to sort of figure out how to cover a large-scale event like that?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of, you know, when something like that happens, there's a lot of different perspectives. So you're having native environmental groups that are on the ground. You have the tribal perspective from tribal leaders. You have the individual tribal citizens. You have all the allies. You have people who are in some of the local towns that were against, you know, were really against what was going on. And so it just trying to figure out all the different perspectives and what angles to cover on a daily basis. And then just trying to get a hold of people, because if we didn't have a stringer on the ground, or, you know, I was there for 9 days, but without having somebody physically there, the challenges of technology with lack of service and trying to get people on the phone, those brought up some challenges. But then definitely, I think watching it unfold on social media was also part of getting, you know, looking at the information. And then you have the law enforcement side as well. So trying to put together the angle and the story.
Is there reporting over the past year, for example, that you're particularly proud of, that you look back and say that was a successful work? I'm glad we did it.
Yes, I'm very proud of all of the election coverage that we did, not only on National Native News, but collaboration with the public television station in New Mexico. I think that those were great stories, especially looking at the indigenous perspective on the election. And I think some of our stories surprised people, because they didn't realize maybe that there are other perspectives out there in Indian country, just like, you know, we're diverse, just like everywhere else.
Right. Advice for young journalists as you sort of pass on the mentorship that was given to you, and you see those new journalists coming up, you're working with them on a daily basis, really. What sort of things are you encouraging them to develop and work on to really thrive in this career?
So one of my part of my advice I always give journalists that I'm working with is just to get to know your neighbors, get to know the community that you're reporting on. You know, don't just try to go get a quote and grab, you know, something when there's a tragedy or something happens. It's really important to get to know the people that you're reporting on. Just go visit a community, go to the reservation, go to your pueblo, go somewhere where your neighbors are and learn about them, and just be a human being and just take part in getting to know people.
Do you have a sense at this point in your career of the impact that National Native News is having, and do you sort of hold that in balance as you do your work?
I don't know about the impact, other than just making sure that we're fulfilling our mission, and to really make sure that we're getting Native voices on the air and sharing the diversity of perspectives that are coming out of Indian country at all levels, and from the grassroots level to the tribal leader level to the national organizations to the advocates, and just making sure we have a variety of voices that are getting on our airways.
I think we better close with your surprising taste in music. If my research is any indication, you have an affinity for, is it Christian rap? Is that your thing?
It is, because I have two little boys and they like hip hop and rap and R&B. And so I got to make sure it's clean.
All right. So give us a great Christian rap group to check out. It's essential listening from your iTunes account or wherever.
So Lecrae is a Christian artist, and he's teamed up with Ty Dolla $ign. I'm probably not even saying that right. you know, and they have this great song called Blessings, and you can play it around your children.
Excellent. Antonia Gonzalez has been our guest. She's anchor producer of National Native News here at Everyday on SDPB Radio. Antonia, thank you so much. Welcome to South Dakota. Come back again.
Thank you.